Yo, 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 yo. It is I, Dame Fresh, and you're listening to the Wait Till You Hear This podcast. This is episode 74. I'm with the homies, Ricky and Darius. Say what up to the people, fellas.
What up, yo? It's Ricky. You can follow me at Letter18 on Twitter, and it's a good-ass ice cream.
What up, y'all?
Are we sticking with Letter18? Oh, my bad, Darius. Go ahead.
No. You good? That's all I had to say. What up, people?
I change like the seasons. I change like the seasons. So you gonna get what you gonna get.
All right, man. How y'all feeling though?
I'm feeling good, man. It's fucking warm. It's finally fucking 60 degrees here. Thank the Lord. Damn,
it's 30 here. Yeah. Cold as hell.
Well, good luck with that shit.
Yeah. All right, man. So look, we ain't gonna waste no time. Let's get right to the shits, man. Yo, Darius, what you doing fighting, man?
I don't know. It was a big mistake.
You got your ass whooped?
No. And I'm actually surprised about it. That's the thing. But my body still hurt. That's the thing. But I didn't get whooped. Like the second job I got, I work at the airport. And this girl I'm fucking with, she got me the job there and shit. So, we break out the job, whatever. Dude, if we trying to highlight her, I don't care because it's not my girl. We got like an understanding about what's going on. So, but we leaving work. I'm in the car with her. I'm watching the game. I'm watching my nigga Jimmy on my phone. I'm watching the game. So she like, I'm not going to this gas station. I'm like, all right, cool. So I had like rolled the window down. I had lit a blunt up watching Jimmy. About to take over the game like he do all the time. And I see her walking back towards me, but I see she was talking to somebody, but I see her walking back. And now, and all I hear was like, fuck that pussy ass nigga. And I opened the door and I said, what happened? She waving at me like, get back in the car. She waving like, no, get back in the car. I'm like, what happened? And dude was like, yeah, and I'm talking about your bitch ass.
So, oh shit!
She put her head down. I put bad down because she already know what time it is. But call me a bitch. She known me long enough. So I put my phone in the car, close the door. Man, I'm walking up. I'm terrified. Look, for one thing, this nigga like 25. He like 6'7". This nigga big as shit.
So he was 6'4".
A young boy, right?
He was 6'4". That nigga was a 6'7". He was 6'4".
Ricky, I swear to God, you know, I wish I could have had her old hair. I'm telling you, this nigga 6'7", yo. So I'm sitting, I'm like, fuck. I'm walking up, and then when I'm walking up, this nigga bouncing. Like, he take his shirt off, and he bounced like, yeah, what up, nigga? I'm like.
Oh, like a boxer? Oh,
yeah, like he got his hands. So I'm walking up like, oh, shit. I'm about to get my ass whooped out of this bitch, right? I ain't got no help. I ain't got no weapons. I work at an airport. Can't be no weapons in that.
Mom spaghetti. Go ahead.
So I'm gonna go. I'm like, I'm talking about, yeah, but I'm like, yeah, so what you say? In my mind, I'm hoping this nigga be like, no, it's all good, right? That's what I'm like. That nigga was like, yeah, you a bitch. I'm talking about the way he said bitch, boy, that B, he put a lot of emphasis on the B, right? And so I'm like, wow. So I'm like, all right, bet. So I just walk up on her, right? So we squared up, I'm like, man, I can't be fighting this young nigga. In my head, I'm thinking, I can't fight this young nigga for too long. I gotta get him up out of there. So I try to throw like a real hard straight right. It probably the slowest punch I ever threw in my life, nigga. I haven't fought in years. Right? So I throw the punch, slow as shit, he ducked it. Bing! Hit me hard than a motherfucker, right? So, like, bing! He hit me like, oh, shit. I'm like, this is not about to go right.
Body shot, took one to the face, pause.
and he busts my head like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, fuck. I gotta set this nigga up because I gotta hit him with my right hand because he's about to fuck me up out here. So I throw like a jab, I hit him, boom. When I hit him, his lip started bleeding. I'm thinking, oh yeah. So I throw another one, But I was like, I fake it. It hit him with the right hand. When I hit him with the right, his knees kind of buckled, but he grabbed me. And when he grabbed me, he picked me up in the air, like over his head.
Damn.
He picked me like over his head. Nigga, I'm fat, nigga.
Like, I know. I seen pictures.
This nigga picked me over his head, but then he put me back down. Then I'm on my feet again.
This nigga was fighting Hercules. What the fuck?
But now I'm on my feet again. But he tried to pick me up again. So I did the old school move. I wrapped my leg around his. And so he tried to pick me up. I just fell on top of him. When I fell on top of him, then I pounded him up a little bit. I hit him about 2-3 good times. Shit got broke up. It was over after that. But I was lucky to the motherfucker. That was the luckiest fight I ever had in my life.
Why was he calling you a bitch though? Like, what did she say?
I have no idea. I guess because he was trying to talk to Shorty and she wasn't going. But I don't know what they had to do with me. I guess she probably, she told him, she's like, yeah, but I'm with D. That's what they call. She's like, I'm with D. And he was like, man, fuck that pussy ass nigga. That's what he said.
Damn, bro. These hoes are getting folks in trouble. This nigga was minding his own business in the car watching Jimmy Butler play.
You can't blame him for that, though. It's a nigga wanting to talk to a chick and he get rejected and then start talking crazy.
Right, talk crazy to me. Like, what you call him? Because I seen him getting aggressive. I'm like, what happened? He was like, no, I'm talking to your bitch ass. Like, I'm talking to you, bitch.
Gary said she was coming back to the car, and he was like, yeah, and that pussy nigga too. Which means she said something to bring Darius into this. And Darius became that pussy nigga.
No. Like, you know, if like normally how it goes, a chick would be like, nah, I can't. I don't want, like, you know, I got somebody. I'm talking to somebody. And nigga be like, man, fuck your old man. And it just so happened that Darius heard that nigga say it. And then he saw Darius in person and was like, yeah, I'm talking about you.
Yeah, and he didn't even double down. He tripled down on it because he said, yeah, your bitch ass. Then I walked over to him like, yeah, I said you a bitch. He tripled down on it. I have a choice at that point.
You're lucky. You're a lucky motherfucker because you're from Chicago. I'm shocked that nigga didn't just shoot you because I would have shot you. Me personally. If I'm talking like that, like tripling down on it, I don't know what the fuck you is eating in that car. More than likely, I got it on me. So.
See, the thing, this is the thing. He was with his homeboy. Like, he been in a car with his homeboy, so you can't bring no weapons to the airport. We work at the airport. So he ain't got his, he went in his own car. Since that was his car, the Thule probably would have came out.
Just watch yourself. That's wild. Well, at least you're alive, old nigga.
This nigga hard man, going crazy, dog.
Man, I got fucking lucky, boy. I was terrified. I am not going over.
You better start going to the gym.
I was talking shit, acting like, yeah, nigga, I told you.
You better start going to the gym, because JJ going to whoof your ass.
Oh, and that was another thing. I want to apologize to JJ. I don't want to fight him no more. So if JJ is listening to this, I want to say I'm sorry. We'll be good, bro.
You better start going to the gym.
That was JJ. He'd watch me.
Well, Darius, at least you lived.
Huh?
I said, at least you lived.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the thing about I go to work, everybody like, damn, why you do CJ like that? I'm like, what the fuck y'all talking about? Because I mean, I think I hit him about 3-4 good times. But I had walked past his, where he work at. I walked past, his shit swollen in the motherfucker. I'm like, damn. I still got that power, though.
Tyrese Max about to shoot these niggas out this shit, though. He keep on shooting these threes.
His knee fucked up. I don't know if you saw it earlier when he went down.
He's in this quarter alone, he shot like 4 threes and missed all the motherfuckers, man.
That's okay. Harden gonna do it. You're turning back the hand of time. Boom! There it go right there. Oh, wait. I forgot I'm behind. I'm like, it's 102. 100.
I'm behind y'all.
This nigga Harden wilding. That nigga Harden got 42.
That nigga came dressed like the Cookie Monster today.
That nigga Harden came out playing like Rockets Harden, nigga. This is Rockets Harden.
That's because he went to a good strip club the other day. you let that man go to strip club, he gonna ball out.
Oh, you saying strip club? I was like, what the fuck a strip club got to do with anything? What's this nigga talking about? I thought you said he went to the strip club. I was like, y'all be saying I be having foul jokes. God damn. I thought he hit another one. That should have been a foul. He's starting to do that dumb Harden shit, though, where he's searching for the fouls.
Yeah, that should have worked in the playoffs. Yeah. James. He should know that by now.
All right, Darius. What's up with your man Cam going at my homie Button? I need you to answer for this, fam. Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I think Cam got it sent to him late. Because honestly, I don't think they were talking about him when they were saying that bullshit. I didn't like when they said it in the first place. Remember, I had spoke on that. I didn't like when they said it, but I don't think they were talking about Cam. So I don't know why Cam. They were talking about all these rappers from the 90s getting podcasts and cooking shows and sports shows, and they failing. And it's fun, and it's good to see everybody failing, all the rappers from the 90s failing and trying to do what they do, pretty much. That's what Joe Budden and Nori was saying. So I guess Cam took it like, I'm a rapper from the 90s, and I got a sports show. So y'all must be talking about me.
The clip is, them niggas recorded that podcast before Cam'ron shit even came out.
Yeah. But I think Cam just got it. My thing is, like, you know, a lot of people don't be on the internet like this, so he probably just got sent that shit. It didn't know that it would happen that long ago.
So basically what you're saying is he took the bait?
Pretty much.
But, like, my thing is, it was Nori who actually said something about the niggas with sports shows and cooking shows. Button was just on the, like amping, like, yeah, yeah. But he was about to say it's good to see niggas fail. No, but what I'm saying is it was Nori specifically who brought those people up.
That's true.
But when Cameron made his post, he went at Button. He kind of let Nori off the hook, but went at Button. I was like, oh, niggas got their picks and chooses. Okay, I see what this is.
And niggas don't fuck with Joe.
I mean, that's cool.
And niggas never fuck with Joe. That's the thing. They never fuck with dude.
I mean, all that shit is great, my nigga. But like, listen, the little shit they do is funny. But like, we're not gonna act like boy ain't the one in this space though. So it's cool.
He's definitely one of the niggas.
All that industry success you had as a rapper, your platinum albums and shit, and all that shit. That shit is beautiful. But this is something different. So you know, cool. I just don't. I fuck with Cam. I just wasn't a fan of, like, I was like, wow. Like, if you're going to go at them niggas because you feel like they're dissing you, go at them niggas. But for him to, like, kind of like, you know, just single out Joe, it was like, whoa, okay, I see that. I see how that go. Okay. It's a little weird to me. But,
it didn't shock me. Niggas just don't fuck with Joe. Like, they never did.
I found it funny when that nigga told him he was a crackhead, and Joe said, well, there's crackheads running laps around you, partner, or whatever the fuck he said. That shit was funny, because, you know, Joe's always
condescending. I didn't get that part from what Joe said. I didn't get it.
I thought that shit was funny as hell.
He said he ran raps around him years ago. I'm like, in what?
In this podcasting space.
But he ain't been – Cam just got in it.
Like 2 months ago. Cameron tried to do it. You think this the first time Cameron tried to do a
podcast? I've never seen Cam do it, unless I'm mistaken.
I know, because the motherfuckers have been failing. That's the point.
What podcast he did?
Man, them shits, they never last, bro.
Cam ain't never did a podcast. That's what I'm saying. And the shit he do now is not a podcast. He really got a sports show. He got a whole production. That's really a sports show.
I didn't say that. Wait a minute. The same way Murder Mook had a podcast, that shit was around for a little bit and it went away. The same way fucking all these rappers do that. Now, you asking me specifically about what the show was? I don't remember because the motherfucker didn't last long.
Yeah, I don't think Cam. I don't think Cam had a show.
Niggas do these little one-shot joints and they be out of here, bro. But like, this ain't Cameron's first attempt at doing a podcast or whatever. Regardless,
I might be mistaken. You might know more than me, but I seriously doubt
Cam had a podcast. No, you didn't know, because it says he had a podcast called Playful Perspective with Cameron. Tune in weekly and get ready to laugh out loud with Cameron and his weekly guests. Email fullspecpodcast.com. So apparently he had one.
Okay.
I thought I might have been mistaken. This is not his first time doing this. It's not his first time.
I don't know if this is the exact same Cameron, but it says it's Cameron.
It's not. This is No, it's just a different format. Like, you know, he found his niche with Mace. Like, this shit is dope.
No, I'm saying the one I just told you. It says it's Cameron, but I don't know if it's like Cameron, because it just says Cameron, full perspective, and the icon looks a little weird because it has glasses. But when I looked it up for hip hop, that came up along with Cameron stuff for his other thing. So he might have had one.
Yeah, but I was when Joe said he went running, I was like, nigga, and what? I was completely confused.
You do realize how long this nigga Joe Budden been doing this podcast shit now, right?
No, Joe is one of the GOATs at the podcast. No, I'm not denying his podcast. But what I'm saying is Cam ain't been doing it that long. It ain't even a podcast.
When the last time was Cam relevant musically?
But him and Mace had that beef. What was that? Probably like 3-4 years ago.
You talking about a couple records. I'm talking about for his music career, like him putting out music, his albums and shit. When the last time that shit was relevant?
When the same year when he put that album out, because that was a big thing. What album was that? That was it was fire too. I can't remember the name of it right now. Purple Haze? He had put an album out because you know that's what started off the beef when he did Mace on the intro. I remember that.
Purple Haze was 04, Ricky, so no, it's not Purple Haze.
It might have been like Purple Haze 2 or 3. I can't remember. It might have been.
I'm not going to lie. That's the last time I know that nigga to be relevant. Maybe when he was beefing with 50.
The last time Mace was relevant musically was around the time he put out Killer Season. That's the last time. Joe Budden been doing this podcast shit.
At least 10 years now.
It's got to be like almost 10, might be probably like 7-8 years now. So, like, yeah, bro. Like, nigga, you can't. So, like, that's why, Joey, this is a different space, bro. It's a different space.
No, I understand. I get what you're saying, but I'm just talking about when you say you've been running laps around somebody, y'all got to be in the same field. If Cam went in that field, How does he be running laps around him?
Well, if we add up everything, because
like if you talk about musically, Cam about 25 laps ahead. Now, if you talk about the podcast game, Cam just got in, his shit on fire, and he just started.
Well, Joe Budden had the podcast. He had the interview shit that he was doing for what was that?
YouTube, but that wasn't Cam bag though. He wasn't even competing with him then.
It's not bad, but he was staying relative. Once you're staying relative and you're still on top of people,
that's
still
what I'm saying. We're talking about relevancy. Like, them niggas did, even outside of Joe Budden podcast, that nigga did what's the shit with Academics called?
Everyday Struggle.
He did Everyday Struggle. He had the podcast. He had that thing where he was interviewing people on YouTube all the time. Then he switched over to the one where he was interviewing real life people when he had the dude who, like, was part of like the raid for Osama bin Laden and all of that.
Talking about the human shit. You talking about the
He had all of that. Like, he's done a whole bunch of ventures since then. He had the shit on Revolt and all of that. So like, yeah, I could say
right. He had the Revolt show too.
He's been around. He's been getting it in since then. So I can see where he means like recently. Yeah, I can get that. But as a whole, if we're being honest, I don't know how you would really measure it, because Cameron's had some ventures too. Not a lot of them like recently, to be fair. So I don't really know how you gauge that, but. I see where y'all both coming from. I ain't a fan of neither of them niggas. Both of them niggas crazy.
I just want, you know.
You know, I'm a huge Cam fan, but I think Cam was bugging. I think Cam was bugging, and I'm a huge Cam fan. I think he was bugging. I'm like why would you even?
I want to see how Joe approaches it when they do the podcast. When they do the podcast, I want to see how he talks about it. Because Queens Flip is a huge Cam advocate. Like, he fuck with Cam.
Yeah, that's his man, for real.
I know he going to stay out of it. He gonna stay out of it, but I'm interested to see how Joe approaches it, because he could go scorched earth with it, because he low key could feel like Cam like picking with him, started it, because Joe Budden always salute Cam. So it was really interesting for me to see him go at him like that. So I'll be interested to see what he say.
Well, I didn't even realize he hasn't had a podcast since then. That shit was that recent? I thought that shit happened like maybe a week or two ago. That's crazy.
It happened the day they released their last podcast, like around then. So like, it was too late for him to respond.
Gotcha.
So like he was,
they're not doing multiples anymore.
No, they're doing multiples. I think the shit happened. You know, they record Friday for Saturday, so it probably happened on Friday, but it was after they recorded, so he couldn't.
Gotcha, This was a weekend thing. Okay.
All right, Carter. What's up with this AI shit that you was talking about?
Oh, they're wilding out. So I don't know if you guys seen all the new scams that they be doing with the AI.
Oh, shit, I did hear something about the AI shit, nigga. They said that they use an AI to take pictures of women and make them nude, nigga. They use an AI technology to take pictures of women that are clothed and like make real pictures of them naked. They been wilding out.
That's kind of like the deep fake, so that ain't it. But
you know, Dave is gonna find a freaky shit in that. You know,
this nigga, man, I can't stand this nigga.
He's gonna find a freaky shit.
Go ahead, Carter.
They be using an AI to kick him off, huh, Dave?
I don't know.
You got it to the case? You bad motherfucker.
Hey, Darius, I don't know what he's talking about.
Don't worry about it. I'm posting some motherfuckers who know what they talk about.
Nah, but so Pete, so with the AI, what the scammers been doing with the AI is they've been going on like Instagram and all these other places and catching people talking, and they have the AI record it, and then they have the AI call these people's families and start saying, "Hey mom, I'm in such and such, I'm lost or whatever. Can you send me some money?" And they give them an account to wire the money to. And they've been hitting licks like this on people. Like real.
I did hear about that.
And Damn. Then the other thing that they've been doing is this motherfucking Aaron Gordon is just starting to hit these threes now. This is gonna get nasty, bro.
It's almost like you need to have like a safe word to know if you're talking to a real person or not.
Damn near. But it's just getting crazy what they're using the AI for. Then they had y'all remember that chick JoJo, the R&B singer, the white girl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She came out and she was saying that she's actually like appreciating the AI because you can have all the AIs just do all the work now. You have a hit song, which I'm not mad at, but I know Drake and them's been mad at that shit. But
that's because nigga, because they don't profit off the business, nigga. Them niggas making AI shit of them and they ain't getting nothing from it. I understand why they upset.
Yeah, but just do it first. Just be like, AI, make me a hit song, and then just put the shit on the radio. They ain't got to know if you wrote it or not. The AI can come up with all that shit, but it's just crazy the amount of shit people are getting away with nowadays with this AI stuff. And recently, the guy from Google who pretty much did the majority of the research for it to get out, he stepped down today. He said that his whole life works was a disappointment because we're going to probably die from this AI shit. He was like, he's seen the future for it, and he got to get out of there. And I just thought that shit was pretty wild to hear the guy who's the whole life work was to create artificial intelligence say he regrets it his whole life pretty much. He's going to step down because this shit's going to kill us in the long run. That's crazy to hear, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I can see it used for some dangerous shit.
Man, what time the game coming on? Fuck all that. Anyways,
you ain't had to yawn on this topic, though. That was disrespectful.
No, I'm not yawning at that. the nigga said we all gonna die. It's like, yeah, fuck you. Nigga, did y'all see that video of Maya that went viral recently?
I sure yes. did.
What you think about what you saw, Darius?
I thought it was a nice video. It was interesting.
What make it interesting?
Oh, it's interesting, you know, because you don't see Maya often, you know, so it was nice to see her living life. You know, it was nice living seeing life.
Nigga, say what you want to say, nigga.
I say what I want to say. Only you, Ricky. What you think about it?
I thought she could take a fresh over, no problem. She said that's gonna be a meme. Like, yes, it is.
It sounded excited about it. That's what I like.
Maya did not flinch, nigga. That's a veteran, nigga. Salute to her. I've been a big fan of Maya for a very long time. So salute to her.
I'm sure.
Salute to her. She knew that was gonna go viral.
I was such a fan of Maya. I would listen to Silk the Shocker songs to sit through the video.
Yeah. So, shout out Maya. If anybody hadn't seen that video, it's pretty funny. Okay, so what's the Lotto and Coley Ray shit? So I know they've been beefing recently because Lotto had a bar and said something as like skinny as Coley Ray or some shit. And I guess Coley Ray thought it was like body shaming or whatever. So Coley Ray has something to say in retaliation. Now, I don't know if this shit is true or not, but apparently they fought or something, or maybe their crews fought.
Yeah, so from my understanding, they were at some type of event, and Lotto had like her best friend or whoever this lady was, part of her entourage, stepped to Coley Ray, and Coley Ray beat the shit out of her, dog walked her ass. Then they got back to the group, and Coley Ray was like, yeah, she just tried to send her some of her people over here. So the people went over there and jumped Lotto and her people, and they just got down. And apparently, Coley Ray came out and said that, yeah, we dog walked that bitch, and it is what it is. And Lotto's looking crazy because this is like the second time she got her ass beat, no? Second or third time.
Who she got her ass beat by before?
I forgot what the young lady's name is, but this ain't the first time Lotto got hands put on her, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not familiar. So it may have happened, but I'm definitely not familiar.
I don't remember all these people's names, so you got for real. Yeah.
It is. She needs to stop talking, but she can't fight. That's the main point.
What was her name? It was like a peach lady or something. I can't remember her name. Yeah, like Super Peach or some shit. I swear she said she beat up Lotto before. This happened like sometime last year, probably around the same time. Not to be funny, you could probably look it up.
I'm definitely not hip, but if Lotto be getting the ass beat, it is what it is. I'm definitely not hip though.
I think that might have been when she was my Lotto, you know, before they made her change her name or whatever. I think it was around that time. But yeah, she be getting her ass up from what I see her almost every time I see her. She getting her ass up or she like shaking her ass. It's one of the two.
Coley Ray, like 65 pounds. She got beat up by a 65 pound human. She should be saved up.
Salute to Lotto, though. She's been working with Teyana Taylor and like her performance shit and stuff all the way up, nigga. So salute to Lotto for that. But you know, this ain't nothing but a little bit of drama. Hopefully this shit get resolved. I don't know if that video was really them or not, because they don't need to be fighting. But, you know, if they did fight and she got an ass whooped, that's kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of crazy for you to get your ass whooped by a small-ass person like that.
She need to go train with Tank Garcia and get her hand game hooked. Get you some squabble, niggas. Because if she keep getting her ass whooped like that, that's not a good look, especially with all the shit she be talking
about. Either that or shut the fuck up. One of them either happened.
One of the two.
All right, so I got a question. Do y'all feel that men settle more than women in relationships?
More than women? That's good. That's actually a good question.
No.
Okay, why do you say that, Carl?
Because I be seeing some beautiful women with some sorry ass looking niggas, and them niggas don't be having nothing going on. I'm being 100% honest. I don't see it the opposite way.
So this is the tweet that I'm going off of. It says, I 100% believe that men settle in relationships more than women. If a man isn't 100% of what a woman envisioned herself with, she thinks she's settling. Men are smart enough to prioritize the most important aspects of a woman instead of just focusing on what she lacks. Women will break off relationships or avoid certain men because he's only 75% of what she wants. Meanwhile, a man is more realistic in understanding that there's no perfect match and doesn't mind shortcomings in certain areas. Women seek a fairy tale ending that doesn't exist. That's why I've not taken care of... Blah, blah, blah. That's his personal opinion. But what do y'all think about what he said?
Janet Jackson and Jermaine Dupri. Perfect.
You know what? I actually agree with dude. I agree.
Okay, why do you agree with him?
I agree because, like he said, I think men are men would look over a woman's flaws more than a woman would look over a man's. One flaw from a man, a woman will leave your ass. You know what I'm saying? If it's not her perfect scenario, a man can know, like, okay, this woman, okay, she might not be the best looking, but she holds me down, she's there, she's loyal, and will stay around. A woman with that a nigga with the opposite thing, if he ain't got no bread, or if he not some type of figure in anything, even it's the streets, business world, whatever his job, whatever, if he's not like a head honcho or something, but she's gonna move the fuck around.
That's false, man.
I don't necessarily agree with that either. I think that people go based off these broad generalities where a lot of times men interact with the perception of the standard instead of the actual person itself. Like, women will say they have all of these standards, and then they get into a situation, and then they start to relax standards based on the emotion in the situation. Like, I don't disagree that, and on the surface, the standards are sometimes like, you know, set to a certain place that men don't set their standards to. Men sort of come into situations understanding that not relaxed standards, but just a more realistic expectation. Because like you said, sometimes women do set the standard at perfection, and just being honest, that shit isn't realistic. You're not going to get a man that's like the most attractive motherfucker on the planet with the most money, with the biggest dick, that's a man of God, and he all of this. You're not going to get everything wrapped into one. That shit, he might have a personality defect, you know? So, but they understand that shit when they get inside the situation. Like, you know, a lot of times that's the standard that they set. And I don't know, bro, but I feel like a lot of times people in these conversations, when they say things like this, they're interacting with the perception of the standard of women instead of the reality of being on being there interpersonal with women and seeing how that shit works when you up close, you know? That's kind of how I look at that shit.
I be seeing chicks stick with some dudes who dog the shit out of them. I mean, like, horrible. And I'd be amazed by that shit.
That's a fact, because I definitely know some, because I got homegirls like that.
And then I can't agree that the men settle more, because I be seeing some men that have no business being with some, just on the physical level, being with some of the women that they with, and then they still cheating on a chick. With something even worse, something possibly better, it'd just be anything. Like, I see that a lot more. Maybe it is because I'm a guy, so I'm around guys more, so I see the dirtier side of it. But
I think just being honest, what you're saying, what you're referring to, is those exceptions. Because I don't think that happens as much in terms of, because like we'll talk about. I'm not just talking about from an attraction standpoint. Because when we talk about the standard, like a lot of the other things, like, for women at least, take priority over just like a man being attractive, you know. But I think that men relax their standards more just to start. That's kind of where I draw the distinction. Like, I think men come into it with the standards being at a more relaxed level, whereas a woman sets the standard very, very high and then relax them shits as time goes. That's kind of how I see it. I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm right, but right. That's just my vantage point of it. I don't think that dude is totally right, but I kind of understand where he's coming from in a lot of ways. But I do sense a hint of bitterness in what he's saying, though. It's not like he's coming into the conversation from an objective standpoint. Because, like, if I were to read the last tweet, this is what this nigga started, and I kind of just, like, started to, like, blah, blah, blah at the end.
But the other shit, we talk about his personal life.
At the end he said, that's why I'm taking not caring anymore when women say they can't find a good man. A lot of them don't deserve one because they want a man to meet their imagination instead of reality. Then they don't even be qualifying for the type of men they imagine themselves with. Like, that shit is like some hater shit. Telling people that they don't deserve a man and shit, like, shut up, nigga.
Yeah, that was just some wild shit. That's why you did right by the said blah blah blah.
That nigga
but my thing is coming from somebody who have a lot of homegirls. Like, I have at least eight homegirls that I talk to on a regular. These literally my homies. It's straight platonic. I love these women like a sister. They love me like a brother. So
hey, Darius, has any of them ever fed you?
Huh?
Huh? Has any of them ever fed you?
They ever fed me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not platonic.
What you mean?
Nigga, you told me if a woman feeds you, you fucking. They're not platonic. You don't remember that conversation? Continuity, baby. Continuity.
It ain't no platonic. Carry on.
You taking that out of context, sir. But you just had to flip that over. You tried, nigga. But no. What I'm saying is, like, I have plenty of homegirls, but I'm gonna say this. I believe, this is my personal opinion, that a man will lower his standards before a woman will. If a man really likes a woman and she's not up to par of what his standards are, he will look past that before a woman would. Because a woman cares more about what society or people has to say than
I think that's the shit that we're not talking about is we keep saying the standards of men. What are the standards of men? You know what I'm saying? That is the thing. Like that's
well, some men have standards. A lot of niggas don't.
A lot of niggas do not have standards.
A lot of niggas don't. I'm gonna say, well, it might be majority. Like a lot of dudes, a lot of men like, don't.
That's another factor of that shit too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like men don't come in with those types of like hard set standards. You know, like you know, they might want attraction. You might want some loyalty or like some shit like that. Somebody that you could talk to or whatever, but. In general, like some of the like true benchmarks that women have, niggas just don't have. Like, you know,
yeah, because I don't have much standards. I only have like loyalty. That's my only motherfucking standard and being true. That's it.
Should have set up different. But I wanna before we hit the sports shit and get up out of here. I got one more. What do y'all know about incels?
Nothing.
Incest.
I said incels. Do y'all know what incels are?
Like an infidel?
No, incel. I-N-C-E-L.
Like when you in jail?
Like VR? No.
Incel. Incel.
When you in a cell?
So incel is short for involuntary celibate.
Oh, niggas who don't get pussy.
Tell me, you celibate because you can't get none? Is that what you say?
Yeah. So like they're involuntary celibate. And it's like a whole community. They hate women.
Oh, I don't know shit about that because I don't hate women.
They basically hate women because they want.
I just spit water all over.
But yeah, like, what do y'all know about involuntary celibates?
Nothing. Oh, shit about that.
I don't know because I can always get some hands in my water.
It's a whole community. I think that nigga that used to be in the group, men going their own way. I think that nigga was an involuntary.
I remember that nigga.
I think that's what them niggas is, man. Them niggas like. Them, you putting the pussy on the pedestal, head ass niggas.
Ain't that what Kendrick did? Put the pussy on the pedestal. Yeah, that song, didn't he?
Yeah. See that shit like he's in the opera. So.
That's how he said it. I promise you, if you go and listen to the song, that's exactly how he said it. You know how
no, he did not say it like thing? I know what song you're talking about, bro.
Okay. I'm telling you, he said it just like that. He did that weird voice thing. And... But now, I don't know nothing about that. Why you bring that up?
I just wanted to see what y'all knew about it because I saw some...
Are you one of them niggas? Hey, you trying to say that?
No, I'm not involuntary celibate, my nigga. Like,
okay.
I have no issue. A lot of these niggas don't know how to talk to women, like just in general. I've never had
I don't know how to talk to women, but I get women. I'm just saying, I don't. I'll be honest.
So you clearly know how to talk to women if you get women, my nigga.
Nah, I know.
Like, for real. No, guys, you don't understand, my nigga. I think you taking talk as like a figure of speech and thinking like I'm talking about like talk as in having game with women. I ain't talking about that. I'm saying these niggas do not know how to interact with women on no level.
Yes.
Like on no level. Like it's a real thing. Them awkward ass, like it's these awkward ass niggas who like feel away because they feel like they owed something. Like a woman, like you know, they should it's a lot of those niggas are the passport bros. Cause they can't get women in America because they don't know how to interact with them. So they use their wallet to go and buy women.
Yo, is Tony Yayo one of those? Because I swear I saw like a Vlad TV
I
thing.
Did he had like a passport boy. That.
He had like a passport boy shirt on.
Yeah,
is that what that means, or is that something different? I'm not even trying to be funny.
I think he was just being ironic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Tony Yayo's not a Tony. I could be wrong, but I would assume that he doesn't have to be a passport, bro. You know, like go to a foreign country just to pay for a woman. I don't know, but that's just my perception of it. But yeah, I just wanted to ask y'all about it, see what y'all thought about it, what y'all knew about it. We could probably have some discussions on it further in the future if I like search up some stories and see what they're talking about. But
no, I'm not trying to be funny, but if they don't like women, are they like gay?
No, they like women. They just can't. They can't get women.
They can't get them.
Oh, because I misheard. Then I thought you said they don't like women. Like,
no, they hate women because women don't want to fuck with them. Like, they hate women because women don't want to give themselves to them.
Oh,
like well, they're not weird. Celibate. They're not celibate by choice. They're involuntary celibates.
Nigga, just say hi. Like, hi, how's it going? I'm Keith or whatever the fuck your name is.
That's difficult for a lot of niggas.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm Keith. This crazy. All right, man. So yesterday, we're currently watching Game 2 of the Nuggets Suns. So you might get some reactions to that in real time. But yesterday, there was Game 7, Golden State versus Sacramento in Sacramento, and we witnessed something historic. Steph went for 50 in the Game 7 to close out the Sacramento Kings on their home court. It's the first time in NBA history that a player scored 50 points in the Game 7. Me personally, I thought it was incredible. It's one of the better performances in his career. He pretty much got to any and everything that he wanted to do, whether it be shoot from range, off the catch, off the dribble, in the pick and roll, finishing around the basket, floaters, finger rolls, mid-range. He pretty much dominated the game and got to pretty much everything he wanted to do. Thought it was an incredible performance. And it was just fun to watch an all-time great player. When the moment called for him to be all-time great, he was all-time great. Nobody else really had it going offensively. But, you know, Steph didn't mind. He carried. It's the most shots he's ever taken in a game. He shot 38 times for the first time in his career, regular season or playoffs. And, you know, he had the performance that he needed to have. So I thought it was great. Just want to get some of y'all reactions to that game. So we'll start out with Ricky, and we'll let Dash go after. So, Ricky, what'd you think?
I was very, very disappointed in Klay Thompson. He had a really good series, but in this game, offensively, he doesn't show up, and everybody's judging him off of that, and I think that just sucks. So I'm glad we won the game more than anything, but I wish he would have performed a little bit better because they got us some really great looks, and he was just missing them bitches. Defensively, he played good, but it was just kind of whack to see that nigga just every time the big moment's supposed to show up for a game for him like that, scoring. He disappeared, and nobody remembered any of the other shit he did. So I was really disappointed at that. But other than that, we got the dub. So on to the Lakers.
I felt like Klay, real quick, I felt like Klay did not have a good shooting game. But I felt like you just said, defensively, he was incredible. He took Kevin Herter out of the entire series, cut Keegan Murray Ward off. He was great on Malik Monk in Game 7. I think he led the team in plus minus with a plus 30 for the game. So even though he didn't shoot the ball well, the other things that he did had a great impact. And he did have some big makes in the second half, you know. I felt like that four-point play to end the third quarter was really, really huge. So, you know, salute to Klay for even though he didn't have it going, he did not let that shit deter him from, like, the other facets of the game, you know. But, Darius, what'd you think, bro?
I thought it was a great performance by Steph. I was able to see the majority of the game. And I think he put on a great performance. He showed his will to win. Yeah, he put his team on his back and got it done. As far as with the Kings, I think that's the young team. I think they'll be good down the road. But that veteran, you know what I'm saying, yeah, they've been there and done that. It showed in that game. It showed the levels. Yeah. And I saw a great game from Steph. Salute to him.
I think it's a situation where it's like this is Fox's first time in the playoffs. This is probably Malik Monk's first time in the playoffs. And you are asking those dudes to basically, like, go shot for shot with Steph. And, you know, experience does win out. Like, it's one dude that has been there before. For De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk and a lot of those other Kings players, this is the biggest game of their career. I wouldn't put this like top five of the most important games of Steph's career. You know, it's just an experience disadvantage to where one dude can be calm and like fall back on the fact that like I've done this shit 1,000 times. This is just another day at the office for me. And on the other side, it's like I felt like the Kings got tight in the second half. You know, when the fact that Steph is going and. They didn't really have anybody on their side that was really locked in like that. That was going to be like, yo, do we have somebody that can like fight this shit? You know, like, is anybody going to be able to like go punch for punch with this dude? And they stopped scoring and he kept scoring. And that's kind of how it goes sometimes, you know, but salute to them. I got a lot of respect for the Kings. Just their approach, how they play basketball. De'Aaron Fox, I've always been a big fan of Malik Monk since college. I felt like he was capable of doing this as soon as he walked into the league, and it was unfortunate that he got drafted to a Charlotte Hornets team that still was trying to, like, you know, hold on to Kemba Walker, so he didn't really get a chance to play at all. Like, Malik Monk was buried on the bench for the first three seasons of his career, and he only got to play when they – got like LaMelo, and that was in the bench role. And then he goes to the Lakers and he flashes over there, and a lot of people are surprised by what he can do. I was not surprised. So him in this series and the shit that he was able to do, just in terms of his scoring ability from floater range, attacking the basket, shooting threes, like, I wasn't surprised. And De'Aaron Fox, I've been a fan of him too. It's just dope that in the time that he wasn't in the spotlight, because, you know, the Kings haven't been making the playoffs. So he's worked on that. He did not come into the NBA with the jump shot. He was not a good shooter coming into the NBA. That dude is one of the better mid-range shooters in the game. He can shoot from range. Like, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come in this league. So it's a big salute to them and their approach to this shit, to even get it to 7 games. Like, that's a major, major accomplishment in my opinion. And, you know, experience one out. One team just knew what to do. You know, Kevon Looney, man. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Loon's performance over the course of the series. But just in general, in Game 7, I think they said he had like 7 offensive rebounds in the third quarter alone. And you could tell that shit broke the Kings' will. Goddamn, Jeff Green. Jesus. But yeah, salute to Steph, man. That's great. That's great, you know. The best player in basketball, Steph Curry.
Only thing I want to push back on a little bit, I have to disagree with you. That was probably one of the top 5 most important games in his career, to be honest. I think if they would have I think if they would have lost that series, I think that would have shut down a lot of things, because you would expect them to come out because of that experience and the fact that Steph Curry really had to speak up and just say, yo, shut the fuck up. Everybody get on the bus. You either with me or don't get on this motherfucker. It says a lot. Normally, he doesn't have to speak up to that.
Did you hear about that, Darius?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope to me that, not to cut your wisdom, Carter, that he said that shit and then had the performance that he had. That's what was even more crazy to me. But I don't think you're wrong, though, Carter. Maybe it is a top 5. I guess after the result and maybe the context of the situation, I'm more so talking about from like a nervousness perspective on him. In the grand scheme of things, this is the first round of the NBA playoffs. He's played in fine, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there's nothing more. I think there's nothing. It doesn't get any crazier than Game 4 on the road down 2-1 in Boston. I don't think nothing get crazier than that. That's kind of why, how I look at it. But
you got to look at it in its totality. They were 0-2. Nobody comes back from 0-2. They haven't lost in the Western Conference in the playoffs in, 19 series? You got everybody talking about
– In the Kerr era, they haven't lost in the playoffs in the Western
Conference. Since Steve Kerr got there, they haven't lost in the Western Conference at all. They're 19-0. You got everybody talking about this is the this is the last dance for the Warriors. If they would have lost the first round, like, they barely made it into the fucking playoffs. Like, they were literally like, 1 game from that going on. It was like so much going on to it to where they would have lost this game. It would have looked bad.
I think you may be right. I think you might be right. Maybe I'm just underselling it. You might be right. I guess I was just thinking more so from the standpoint of Steph didn't look bothered at all. He did not. He looked like that shit was nothing.
I think this was the first time minus that finals that we actually had to see Steph Curry say, I can't lean on anybody. There's nobody to lean on. No offense to Draymond or Clay, but they're not getting it done offensively. So this was the first time we have to see him pretty much.
Wiggins didn't have shit. Jordan like, not playing well. You're right.
He had the wheel. The team was fighting each other, bro. Like, that shit was crazy. He went out there and told them niggas like Aaron Rodgers, relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. I got this. Just get on the fucking bus.
Steph told them niggas. He said, if y'all niggas get on the same page and we have the right approach, I will win this game for us. I will win the game for us. I can do it, but y'all got to be with me.
And that's just amazing because that's what Jimmy Butler said for the series. He said, yo, y'all just come out here and give it to us all. I'll win this fucking series for us. And they did it against the Bucks. No matter what you want to say about Giannis not being 100%, whatever, they still had to go out there and win them games. And Jimmy did that shit. The same thing with Curry. It's like, you don't see a lot of people just will. Hell, LeBron did that when they was down, what, 1-3? Like, that's a whole different ball game. So I think this is probably one of his shit, they won that game last night, and everybody just said, yeah, everybody pretty much came on TV and was like, unanimously, but like damn near 90% of all the media was like, yeah, this nigga the best point guard ever. Like, yeah. And this was just the first round. That says a lot, bro. That was an important game.
This has been episode 74 of the Way to Hit This podcast. You can follow me at Dame Fresh on Twitter. You can follow Ricky at Letter 18 on Twitter. Follow the podcast at Way to You Pod. Don't follow Darius because he might shoot you.
Thanks.
Anything y'all want to say before we get up out of here, man?
Hey, Darius.
What up?
Get your squabbles up, nigga. Get your squabbles up.
Teach your man squabble, nigga.
My squabble game nice, man. It's just rusty.
You got to get back in there. Get the rust off. Get some WD-40, nigga. You'll be all right.
I ain't fighting nigga.
KG rolled past while Darius and that dude was fighting and said, trash ass nigga.
This nigga sweet.
But all right, we up out of here, man. Peace.